Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
Monday, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to have you with us here. And we got 2 hours with our good friend Trent Horn, the author of about 1 million different Catholic books, including Why We're Catholic, which I am told has now sold more than 200,000 copies. Is that true, Trent Horn?
Yes. Why We're Catholic has reached a lot of people. It's also been translated into different languages. I believe it's been translated, into Croatian, definitely into Spanish by not a Spanish language. Well, it is a Spanish language publisher, but a Spanish publisher, one that is located in Spain, the country of España. And so that it's printed there. I think it's available at Amazon.es under the title ¿Por qué somos católicos?
Oh,
why
great.
We're Catholic. Yeah. And it's a huge group to reach. And I'm hoping we can make more versions of Why We're Catholic in Spanish to be able to reach, especially people in Latin America and South America, where there's a lot of people who are being taken away from the faith or lured away from the faith by the evangelicos, mm-hmm. you know, evangelical megachurches are thriving. And we're seeing in Latin America and South America what is happening to the Catholic community, kind of what was happening in the United States in the 1980s when there were lots of Catholics. The most popular place they would go was not non-religious. It was to another Protestant church. And that spurred the development of apologetics from Carl Keating, Scott Hahn, Patrick Madrid. And I think we really need something like that in Latin America, South America. We could send Patrick Madrid down there. He's bilingual, actually. So,
qué bueno.
Qué bueno, indeed.
Well, we're going to do just the opposite of that this hour and next hour. It's why are you not Catholic?
Yes.
If you're not a Catholic, these hours are for you. It's always fun to start off the week this way. Just non-Catholics calling today. Maybe you are a Protestant person perhaps you consider yourself a former Catholic. You left the church. Perhaps it has never even occurred to you to enter the church, but you have a view of Christianity that would make it difficult or maybe impossible
or you may not
to
even
reconcile
be,
with.
Or you may not be Christian. Even.
Or you might not be a Christian at all, you'd like to tell us why you don't believe in God, or you believe in multiple gods, or you are not sure what to believe, but you're not going to believe all that Catholic stuff. Just for if you're not Catholic, you can call today, 888-318-7884. Why are you not Catholic? 888-318-7884. And also, sometimes we get folks who will, it's not a doctrinal issue. It has to do more with the behavior of the church, and that's fine too. If you have an issue with something that has gone on in the church or something that the church fails at that bothers you and keeps you out of the church, your call is welcome as well. 888-318-7884. So, Trent, just while people are marinating on whether or not they want to call or not, why should people be Catholic given that, Catholics don't say you absolutely have to be a baptized Catholic to be saved. So why should people be Catholic?
It's true. The church teaches, you go to paragraph 1257 of the catechism and it says that salvation is bound to the sacraments, but God is not bound by the sacraments. So baptism and remaining in a state of grace through the cooperation with God's grace is the normal, ordinary means that God has given for our salvation, to save us from sin and have eternal life with Him. That's the ordinary way. Now, of course, God is all-powerful. He can give His grace to whomever He wants. And so it's possible that God can save someone who never knew Him, never knew His church, or was presented the gospel in a deficient way that caused them to have a kind of ignorance they could not overcome. And so they never accepted it in this life. It's possible, but just because something is possible does not mean it's probable. What's more probable is that we encounter sin and difficulty and temptation in this life, and it's very easy to succumb to it. Even for people who live a life of grace, it's easy to succumb to that in this world. It's Satan is called the god of this world in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We struggle. John says we struggle against the flesh, the world. There's so many things that affect everyone. Even with grace, it's hard. So without it, you say, oh, what am I to do? So that is why it is important to have those kinds of spiritual resources, if you will, to be able to combat temptation, to lead a life of grace, a life of holiness. So I believe people should become Catholic in the same way, Sai, it's like, yeah, it's possible you could survive on bread and water alone or like a very minimal diet. But
yes,
I want people, but would you ever recommend that for someone so that they're essentially spiritual skin and bones? No, you'd want them to be robust and healthy. If you care for someone, you want to give them what is best for them. And I believe that the church that God gave us is certainly that. Not everyone agrees, and that's fine. We can have a conversation about that. But just because I don't understand why I would offer the mere possibility of salvation to someone when I can offer them a moral certainty of it through the church Christ gave us. Why would I give them the crumbs when I can give them the real entree here?
888-318-7884. We confess we're Catholic and we'd like you to have the full entree, as Trent calls it. We'd like you to have all of what Christ offered through his church. We believe that that is present in the Catholic Church and only in the Catholic Church. 888-318-7884. If you are not a Catholic and you want to tell us why you're not Catholic, it's interesting to me that there's I don't know if a debate has kind of started raging in evangelical circles over this evangelical minister who's arguing maybe we've forgotten something by leaving out the real presence of Christ.
Oh yes, that was this was last week. There was an article about this in Relevant Magazine and a little brouhaha over it related to Francis Chan. Francis Chan is a Protestant pastor. I think he was here in Simi Valley in California, and he's a real down-to-earth guy, really biblical. I like him a lot. I listened to a few of his sermons, and he's always challenging people to go beyond their comfort zones as Christians. It's something that he sees a lot in some of the congregations he's pastored, which were very affluent. And he's always challenging them to go beyond that with the Christian message and to embrace things that may be uncomfortable and not necessarily part of the Protestant tradition. I think now he's going overseas to do missionary work and church planting, but he gave an interview last week and he talked about how he was just amazed that he wasn't really taught, or he didn't learn this, he didn't know until recently, that the Eucharist, the bodily presence, you know, the real presence of Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. He said, you know, you didn't know that was something that was just believed in the church until the Protestant Reformation. And he said, why have we forgotten this? And why have we instead of, for him, the big thing was, it's not like Francis Chan said, I'm going to become Catholic because I believe in the Eucharist. That's an overblown reading of the story. But he was concerned, looking at modern Protestantism, he was seeing, why is it that the pulpit and the sermon take center stage at church, as opposed to the Eucharist? And there are Protestants who have disagreed with Chan on this. Some say, well, yeah, that they believed in the real presence of the Eucharist. We don't now, but that's okay because they were wrong back then. And there's others who will say, oh, they never really believed in that, or, oh, that's a misunderstanding of church history. And I actually replied to that in a video today on my YouTube channel at Council of Trent YouTube, where I engage James White's comments on Francis Chan. You can go to YouTube, search Council of Trent, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, and you can find that video there. But I appreciate his point, is what he's saying, is that even all of these Protestants who disagree about different things, I think I could say to them, look, wouldn't you agree that, at least throughout church history, what was at the center of Christian worship was the Eucharist? It was not going to hear someone who was a fantastic preacher, who gave wonderful sermons or homilies. There were some who did that, but it was the Eucharist that was the focal point in Christian worship, in liturgy. Whereas now, even more recently in the 20th century, it's been going to hear a pastor preach a wonderful sermon. And Chan was like really pushing back against that. And I think that's something that Protestants should ask themselves, wait, what is the point of going to church? I remember once that I was with some friends, we were doing pro-life work, and it was a Catholic-Protestant mixed group. And what we did, we all got to pick our own churches to go to on Sunday. So all the Catholics, we were going to go to church, and we invited one of our Protestant friends who said, hey, do you want to come with us to our church? And he said, no, I'm probably just going to stay in my room and just read the Bible today. And that was kind of shocking to us, but not to him, because from his perspective, going to church is great, but it's not a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is what's necessary. I don't need to go to church if I don't see the need for it. That church is here to kind of give me spiritual reflection and edification, but it's not a place where I go to receive grace through sacraments. And that's a big difference. Understand why, what is the purpose of Sunday worship, of liturgy,
yes.
And what has it been historically known? And it's been very different today than what we see throughout most of church history.
Trent Horn is our guest. His book, Why We're Catholic, one of his books is Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. And today we're asking you, if you are not a Catholic, why aren't you Catholic? And you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Just a couple lines open right now, but you can get in, I think. 888-318-7884. As I mentioned earlier, Trent's book has sold over 200,000 copies now, the Why We're Catholic book. And right now we've got Why We're Catholic packaged at 5 copies for just $25. That's a 65% savings. And if you order a case of 20, the price goes down to $3 a copy. And it's also available in an audiobook at audible.com. Visit shop.catholic.com today. Shop.catholic.com today and look for the 5 for 25 category to start saving.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn's with us for both hours. Trent's book, Why We're Catholic, kind of giving us our jumping off point for the program today. If you're not a Catholic and you'd like to tell us why you are not Catholic, this hour and next are for you, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Karen in Cleveland, Ohio. Karen, you're going to start us off today. Karen, why are you not Catholic?
Well, hi. Thank you for your program today. Actually, I'm one of those people that it seems like was a child in the 60s and 70s and then the 80s. I'm sorry, I was baptized and raised as a Catholic, but in the 80s, I found myself attracted to the Protestant evangelical movement and found myself there. But now I'm feeling it's kind of weak and I'm searching for something else, and I'm finding the Catholic doctrine pretty solid. But I guess my question is, what happened in the 70s, 60s and 70s, that made so many Catholics want to leave? I feel like I missed a lot of the stuff that I'm learning through you, Trent, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard that. And I think if I would have, I probably would have stayed with faith longer. So
yeah.
I'm just curious, like, what happened?
Well, there's a lot of issues related to why Catholics left the faith in the 1960s and 1970s. I don't think you can boil it down to just one factor, like, oh, this is the reason the church saw a decline in numbers from the 1960s onward. I think it was kind of a confluence of things. I think after the Second Vatican Council, there were positive things that came from the council to help teach and reaffirm Christian teaching and doctrine and to articulate it so that it could be understood against novel situations that are arising in the modern world. But from that, though, there was some confusion that came, especially for people who were not used to things like the changes in the liturgy, allowing for the mass to be said in the vernacular or local language. And so that led to kind of tumultuousness or this sense of change. Where is there stability? And I think that was compounded that the 60s and the 70s were kind of a period you could just describe as very tumultuous, just so much change happening politically, socially. You see the sexual revolution, so many things happening in the modern world. I think that, you know, people, there's also a kind of rebellion against authority in the 60s and 70s. Now, of course, I wasn't there to see that. But if you look at the culture at the time, not just the sexual revolution, but culture in the 60s and 70s in general, I think there was just a large idea that the main authority you ought to follow is yourself. You should be true to yourself, and that's how you can know what you should do. Whereas prior to that, you know, prior, you know, World War II and before, there was a sense more of tradition, of honor and duty, duty towards family and neighborhood and community, but more of a sense of individualism and self-authority after World War II. And all of that put together in this change in the cultural milieu, I think was not as helpful for the church. People saying, I don't need the church as an authority. I don't need my parents as an authority. I don't trust the government as an authority. I trust myself. And so then Protestantism, I think, fed into that saying, of course you can trust yourself. We're here for you. You've got the Bible. And we all believe in ourselves to read the Bible and understand God's word together and do that. But I think when you look at Protestantism, where it has led, there are good things that have come from that. People's love of scripture and seeking the Lord. But at the same time, there's denominational fracturing. There is confusion, debate over crucial Christian doctrines Protestants do not agree on. So that's why I think that you should definitely put stock in the church that Christ gave us, that is the custodian of the deposit of faith that was given 2,000 years ago. So I hope that's a helpful historical narrative, and I'm happy to answer any other questions you have if you're, you know, still wondering about the Catholic faith. Is that helpful, Karen?
Yeah, that is very helpful. And I've been listening to you for several months, and you've given me a lot of information that I never got. Mm-hmm. That I think if I would have gotten earlier on, I probably would have followed a little bit differently. So I do thank you for all that.
Karen, this is Cy. If I may ask you a quick question, Karen. In the 1980s, when you entered the kind of evangelical circles of Protestant Christianity, do you remember what it was that drew you there? Or who it was?
It was Calvary Chapel movement. Mm. It was hearing about what it meant to be saved. And I guess I never heard that when I was going through my Catholic education. And I, in some ways, I felt kind of duped, like, why didn't they tell me about this?
Yeah.
So I went headstrong into it for several years. Mm-hmm. And actually, recently, my daughter, who I raised as a Protestant, has been one who's been seeking. And she's been kind of the one who's been tapping me on the shoulder saying, hey, I didn't know about this, about the Catholic faith. Did you?
I
didn't. So
did you watch like the evangelical television programs that came on cable television in the 80s?
Well, Billy Graham, I'm following some of Billy Graham's things, and those were, I guess, some of the things that kind of led me in that direction.
Yeah. I only ask you that because I think Protestantism and Protestants were much quicker than Catholics were to take advantage of cable television. And the radio.
And radio.
And that...
We had Fulton Sheen, and that was it.
Yeah, and I think you're testifying to the fact that following Mother Angelica and some of the founders of Catholic radio around the country, and the founders of Catholic radio stations are all the way from, you know, wealthy businessmen and women who did that to just, you know, mom and pop who said, hey, can we somehow get a local radio station and start broadcasting this Catholic stuff? That has been a revolution. A lot of people who were drawn away by Protestant media and the evangelical movement that followed after all that turmoil that Trent pointed to, like Calvary Chapel, for example, is kind of a lot of reformed hippies in a way.
Yeah, Chapel was founded in 1965, I think.
Yeah, they followed the kind of the hippie movement into evangelicalism. And so that became big, but
they became the Jesus freaks.
Yeah, the Jesus freaks who became Calvary Chapel. And you can see the appeal of that in the way it's kind of culturally au courant and all that. But the Catholic faith has much deeper roots, and it needed a media presence. And so it's here now. So I just wanted to point that out because I think that you're testifying, especially for all those people who support Catholic media, you know, who send their check off to EWTN or to their local Catholic radio station. You're part of a revolution that's really, really valuable because people have been missing out on the Eucharist and missing out on going to confession and all that.
Karen, real fast before we go, I'd like to recommend some resources to you. First, there is a book called Salvation, What Every Catholic Needs to Know by a friend of the apostolate, one of my friends, Michael Barber. He's a Catholic Bible scholar. Great guy, Michael Barber, like you go to the barber to get your haircut. Salvation, What Every Catholic Needs to Know. And then I would like to send you my book, Why We're Catholic, for you to read. I think you may find that very helpful. So if you stay on the line and give our call screener your information, I'll send you a copy of my book, Why We're Catholic. Would that be helpful for you?
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate both those.
Loved your call, Karen. Call anytime. We'd love to speak with you again. We go now to Anne in Indiana, listening to EWTN Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Anne, why are you not a Catholic?
Well, this may sound a little bit kooky coming from an adult woman, mm-hmm. but I am afraid to convert because of my parents would disapprove. Mm-hmm. My father has passed away, but my mother is still alive. Mm-hmm. I was raised a Methodist, and I'm baptized in the Methodist Church. But I feel compelled for some reason to convert. Mm-hmm. But this overwhelming sense of upsetting my parents is holding me back from doing it.
Okay. Let me help you out with this, Anne, because I think that the obstacle you're facing, it sounds more like an emotional obstacle than an intellectual one, which is common for a lot of us, that we see something really good that we want to do, but we get worried or we're afraid about some consequence related to that. And I would encourage you not to let worries get at you in that way. There's actually a great book I've read because I deal with anxiety a lot in my own life by Robert Leahy. It's called The Worry Cure, 7 Steps to Stop Worry from Stopping You. What I would say to you is why would your mother disapprove? Like, what do you think would happen if you converted, and why do you think that would happen?
Well, I just feel like, you know, there would be this, I guess, overwhelming disappointment for some reason because, you know, we weren't raised Catholic. Like I said, my parents weren't mm-hmm. Catholic. And, I mean, I had Catholic friends when I was
sure.
a kid. I mean, I just...
So you're worried your mother will be disappointed?
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. My dad was really big on the Ten Commandments growing up.
Sure.
I mean, like, he would quote, you know, tell you about them and
yeah, yeah.
everything. And I always think about the one about honoring your father and mother, you mm-hmm. know? And I'm like, well, if I go against what... And him being gone now, like
right.
I said...
Sure. But we also have to remember that the way the commandments are ordered... The three commandments before obeying our parents tell us to obey who?
God.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of means if we have to make a choice, that normally our parents will lead us to God, and that's why we're supposed to honor them. But if they aren't, mm-hmm. then we have to listen to God. And sometimes when we listen to God, we also lead our parents to Him in that way by being that gracious witness and example. Here's a question from Jensen's Worry Cure. I think it might be helpful for you. Tell me why it's not a problem for you to become Catholic and accept Jesus in His church. Tell me why it's not a problem.
Well, I, like I said, I was raised a Methodist and baptized and everything, but mm-hmm. I feel like I want to participate in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. And so by becoming Catholic, you would be able to do something you really want to do and you feel like God is calling you to.
Yes.
And I think that because God cares for us, He will help us to overcome obstacles to be able to do that. I would also not let your worries confound you because they may not be justified. what I would recommend after we're done talking is to tell yourself a story about how you tell your mother you're interested in becoming Catholic, and to see to yourself how she can accept that. She may not accept it. Just think about two different stories. Like, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen? What is the worst thing that could possibly happen? Worst thing could be your mother may never speak to you again at all, but you'll still have Christ,
well,
his church, and the Eucharist.
Because she lives with me.
She's got to talk to you then.
But then you have to ask yourself, you should ask yourself, what's the best thing that could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen? And what'll probably happen? And then when we do that, we can see, you know what? I've handled when hard stuff has happened, and have God in my life that can help me to really handle that through. And he gives us that reassurance that even if the worst stuff happens to us, which it may not, but even if the worst things happen, he cares for us. You remember in Mark chapter 10, that when the apostles came to Jesus, they said to him, we've left everything to follow you. They left families. And Jesus spoke to them prophetically, knowing that people who would follow him in that time, many of them would be kicked out of the synagogue. They would be, their families disowned them. They weren't good Jews anymore. They were abandoned. And what he said was, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers, sisters or mother, father or children, for my sake, that won't receive 100-fold from this time. And please stay on the line. Talk to our call screener. I'd like to get your contact information to send you my book, Why We're Catholic. I think that'll help you.
And thank you very, very much for the call. Why Aren't You Catholic is our topic this hour. Trent Horn is our guest. His book, Why We're Catholic, one of the most popular books helping people into the Catholic Church. More with him right after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Gloria Purvis.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team discusses the differences between sons and daughters and how they complement each other.
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Trent Horn, our guest. We're asking you, actually, you, the caller, to call in and tell us why you are not Catholic. If you're not a Catholic for any reason, maybe you're Buddhist and you're like, well, why would I be Catholic? I'm a Buddhist. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Maybe you're a Protestant person who just doesn't believe what the Church teaches about works or salvation or the sacraments. Or you are welcome to call. Maybe you were once a Catholic and are no longer. 888-318-7884 is the number. And we just like having conversations about the Catholic faith. So feel free and comfortable to call. And if your call is a little bit challenging, that is fine. Trent is really smart. 888-318-7884. That's true, right, Trent?
I'm trying.
Yeah, are you? All right.
I think so.
Maybe. That's the dumbest you've sounded all day. I just was selling you as really smart, and you went straight into the...
Well, the problem is someone who is really smart would understand how much they don't know, so they probably wouldn't sound that smart at all.
Thank you, Socrates.
Mm-hmm.
Let us go now to Sam in Maryland. Sam is listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio channel 130. Sam, why aren't you a Catholic?
Hi there. I want to make sure that we don't have the echo problem, because I am on my dashboard radio.
Sounds fine to me. Can you hear us?
Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Very good. All right. I would just like to say that I am a Protestant. I was raised as an evangelical Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
I got very, very far from the Lord. I was not at all a spiritual creature. On my way back, I went through a period of time when I had what I would call a designer religion, which meant I allowed for pet sins that I wanted to have,
mm-hmm.
And I thought that God gave them to me, and that was not, of course, correct.
Okay.
And I was listening. I began listening to EWTN radio.
Good.
And it was through EWTN that I had a tremendous revival. I realized that Jesus really loves me.
Amen.
He cares about me as an individual. It was an amazing thing. Now, about then, I went to the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking of what the Protestants would say, and as many as believe were added to the church daily. And the first Catholic Church said, well, you have a class to take here. And now, I'm a Christian believer. I'm born again, and I believe as you do, and I'm thirsting for the Eucharist. I really am at that point. And I said, I'm a believer. I want to come in. I can learn the eccentricities of your faith, but I want a fellowship with you. And they said, okay, well, here's the book. Get in the end of the line. You can have your first communion next spring. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking, as many as believe, we're at the church daily. That's not how this works. I went to see another Catholic priest, and he says, well, maybe you're just not cut out to be a Catholic at all. So I will say to you.
Sometimes, Sam, we are our own worst enemies. Okay. Oh, my goodness. It sounds like you have found the truth, and the evil one has put many obstacles in your path, and he loves to pick members of the church to do that. That's what it feels like to me when I hear your story.
Well, it is possible, but I will just say this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was very primed to join you as a fellow believer,
yeah.
and move forward. And it was thwarted at every... Now, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stop there. I took my Catholic wife. We went to a Protestant church. She has been born again in the Protestants, as they think of it. Which is fine. She has said, hey, I know who this Jesus Christ is, and I know what he did for me, and I accept that. I want to be a member of God's family. So we're in good shape. We're both growing. We're praying together. We're having a good time. But I'm just saying that I was just so disappointed that you had me so primed to think this was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, my spiritual life has gotten someplace that it is amazing. You can operate day by day or
Sam,
hour by hour.
Let's try to bring it back a little bit here. I really want to tap back into that enthusiasm you had to become Catholic and to receive the Eucharist. Why did you want to receive the Eucharist?
Well, I that is the Spirit's work. You know, if you haven't done communion or the Eucharist in a very long time,
mm-hmm.
And you hear the value that the Catholic Church puts on it.
Right.
If you're interested in that church at all, the Eucharist is absolutely going to bubble to the surface.
And certainly.
After this, go ahead.
Well, because the Catechism says it's the source and summit of our faith, because the Eucharist is where Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, is made present for us to receive. Every week, every day, if we want to, we can receive his very body, blood, soul, and divinity. And by receiving it, you know, it's the old phrase, you are what you eat. We actually become more like him to receive that grace. I was in your shoes when I was 17 years old, 16 years old. I went to a Catholic church and I was just Christian and I just went there for a long time. And then later I came to see that, okay, I looked at different churches, but this is the church I want to be a part of. Because it's the church Jesus started, and it's the church where Jesus is here right up on the altar. And so I wanted to receive the Eucharist right then. I'm like, I want to do this. But they said, no, you have to be formed. You have to be properly disposed to know what you're choosing to commit yourself to, that there are weighty responsibilities in choosing to either be, I was baptized. Have you been baptized?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I was not baptized at that point. So it sounds like if you were to become Catholic, you would just be confirmed and you would be received into the church and be able to receive communion. So I went through the RCIA process. Now, I will tell you this. RCIA is not mandatory. Canon law just says that someone who wants to receive the sacraments of either baptism or confirmation has to be instructed in the truths of the Catholic faith and properly disposed. Like, you can't force somebody to be baptized or confirmed. They have to know what they're choosing to receive. So normally RCIA is that process, and many people go through it. But for some people, it's not feasible, and it is possible to go through. I know some people who have been instructed in a much shorter time frame by their parish priest, but that's not always an option for people. But I guess this is my challenge for you. If it really is Jesus, his body, blood, soul, and divinity on that altar at a Catholic church, and that really is the church Jesus founded, he wants us all to be a part of, how many classes, like what would you be willing to go through to have that? I think a few months of classes would be worth that. It's like when Jesus told the story about the pearl of great price. Do you remember that story?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so he said, you know, if the man knows there's a treasure in the ground, he'll sell everything, he'll do whatever he can to get that treasure. And that's how I was when I was 17 years old. I did whatever. If I got to go through a million of these classes, hey, I will do it. And during that time, I went to Mass and I prayed and I asked for spiritual communion. I said, Lord, I'm not ready to receive you under the form of bread and wine. I can't receive you bodily, but I can receive you spiritually in my heart. And I long and I ache and I wait for that day. And then the day came. And it was beautiful, and I still remember the first, second, and third times I received the Eucharist. Now it's hard after all of that, you know, it's been thousands of times, but it was well worth it. That was the pearl of great price for me. So I hope that you'll look at it in that way and give it another chance. And I'll pray that you find a parish that can work with you in helping you through that process and in an easier way. And I would like to also send you my book, Sam. So stay on the line. And our call screener will get you, give us your contact information, and I will send you my book, Why We're Catholic. And then I hope that's helpful. And I will ask our listeners to pray that you have a better encounter to help lead you into the Catholic faith than you had before. Okay.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you very much. Our topic this hour and next, why aren't you Catholic? If you're not a Catholic person and you'd like to call and tell us why you are not a Catholic person, 888-318-7884. Trent Horn, our guest for both hours. Also, I kind of feel like if you're at a parish and you hear someone like Sam's call, we can become kind of bureaucratic. And we got to really avoid the bureaucracy thing. You stand in that line.
That's a human sin that I believe infects everything. When you get humans together, bureaucracy, unnecessary bureaucracy, that is just a human sin. I don't know what is at its root, but it's not a part of our faith. It's something that infects our faith. I'll tell you this, Si. I remember when I was getting married, that my non-Catholic parents, so to get married, you had to sign an affidavit saying like you haven't been married before. You know, the church goes through to make sure you're not impeded from getting married, that this is a valid marriage. So each of us, myself and Laura, we had to have our parents sign affidavits in the presence of a priest to declare that my child has never been married before, or if they have been, it was annulled, or, you know, what have you. And when my parents went to the local Catholic church to do that, they said, I'm sorry, ma'am, we can't help you because you're not a registered parishioner here.
That is
my bureaucracy voice.
That's a good
assignment. Sorry, ma'am. You'll have to talk to Father. He's unavailable today, but we'll be able to get back to you in a week. If you become a registered parishioner, and it's just all this stuff like, well, my parents aren't Catholic. Like, well, we're not Catholic. They're not Catholic. They just need to, they can't meet with a priest.
They're trying to help their kid out.
It's like, we're helping our kid get married in the church, and you're putting up a ridiculous, unnecessary obstacle when there are so many people that go out and get married outside of the church.
Yeah.
And so, yes, to hear someone say something, maybe you're not cut out to be Catholic. I'm like, maybe you're not cut out to be an evangelist right now. You need to go back for basic training.
Right.
So I would say, just for anyone who is considering becoming Catholic, who is listening, they love the beauty of the church, the liturgy, the Eucharist, the reconciliation we find in confession, the beauty of the Mass, divine liturgy, whatever it may be. If you, when you find the truth and you seek after the truth, the devil will throw as many roadblocks up as he can. You have to remember you're in the middle of a battle. 1 Peter chapter 5 says the devil is like a prowling lion seeking to devour. And you might think like, oh, so when these roadblocks come up, yeah. It could be a personal tragedy, it could be bureaucracy, it could be whatever it may be. To see it as to ask, Lord, help me to patiently endure this to bring me closer to you. And if you trust in God, he will help you sail through these obstacles, the evil one. I mean, we've heard it time and time again. Someone wants to become Catholic and they go, and the devil just loves, like, the devil, I will give him credit. He's very good at irony. So, not ironing clothes, of course, but he's good.
Irony.
He lives in hell. I'm sure everything doesn't have wrinkles there because it's so hot
and steamy.
Hot and steamy. But he knows irony. I'm sure he thinks, like, what would be the best way to keep this person from becoming Catholic? I'll use another Catholic to do it.
Yeah, right.
So we have to be aware that it's like we're in the midst of this battle, but God has the victory. We just can't lose. We only lose when we lose sight of that.
Yep.
And to keep our focus always on that. And I would just say, if you're in, like I said, with Sam, like for me, it was many months. And yeah, RCIA can be a long process. And frankly, it can be an underwhelming thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's something just to slog through. Go take a break from that and just go to the church when it's quiet and you're by yourself and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And know, like, Lord, I am here because you are so close. And I long for the day when I can receive you.
Yeah.
And just to spend that time with him. And if you spend that time with him, it will strengthen you so that when you hit these roadblocks, it rolls off your back like water off a duck. Say, well, that's just what happens, but God is good.
Again, Sam, thanks very much for the call. Why aren't you Catholic? Our topic this hour. It's Sanctity of Life Month, by the way, and we've got a brand new ebook for all of our listeners. It's free, fearfully and wonderfully made, pro-life answers for everyone. Just visit shop.catholic.com today and look for the banner at the top and get your free pro-life ebook.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest. Lots and lots of folks on the line, and we're trying to get to all of you, but this is kind of a conversational show. We got to let you tell your story. If we're going to ask you, why aren't you Catholic? We got to let you tell us why you're not Catholic. So we take a little bit more time with each call today. If you're not a Catholic, there's one line open if you want to avail yourself of that opportunity to give a call. And let us know why you are not Catholic. 888-318-7884. Trent, up next from South Bend, Indiana, listening on Real Presence Radio, we have David. David, why aren't you a Catholic?
I guess I don't understand.
Oh, David, what do you belong to a religion right now?
No.
Okay, so you're just non-religious?
No, I didn't say that. I'm a 15-year drug addict. And I've been in recovery for 3.5 years.
Well, congratulations on that. God bless you.
Yeah.
That's all God. That's not me. So.
Good. Well, pray that God continues to work to keep you clean and sober and to draw you close to Him. What we're asking people today is what they think about being Catholic and if they would ever consider becoming Catholic to be closer to God and have Him work through their lives. And yeah, what do you think about the Catholic Church?
Like I said, I really don't understand all, like, I don't even know what the Eucharist or any of that kind of stuff is. I just don't understand it.
Sure. Well, I could try to break it down.
Too far out there or what the deal is, you know?
Okay. Well, let me just try to break it down for you. First, the world's not an accident. God made this world, and he made you. And David, he loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants you to have eternal life and happiness forever with him in heaven. That, David, your existence is not an accident. He wants you, your life is a gift, and he willed that you would come into existence, and he gave you your life as a gift. And it sounds like you've turned your life around a lot and see that your life is a gift. And the problem is, though, you know, God made us, and he wants us to be happy with him, and he's perfect love and goodness itself. But the problem is we don't always pick him. We sin, and sin is just missing the mark. Sin is when, instead of doing the right thing that leads us closer to God and happiness, is when we do the wrong thing that hurts ourselves or hurts others. And God knows that in this life, like, you know, we'll mess up, but he's given us a way so we can be more like him. He became man. He died on a cross so that we can have his spirit, his very life, so that we can become his adopted children. We can become more like him every day, and then be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. Basically, it's just God loves you. He wants you to know Jesus. He wants you to have his very life to be transformed. And he gave us a church to help us do that. So, and he made one church. Jesus started 2,000 years ago. And so that's it. I mean, that's basically what the Catholic Church is. And God wants you to be a part of it, to be transformed. So I don't know. What do you think of that?
So, you know, I guess for me, it's probably a lot to take in.
Sure.
You know, but, you know, one thing that's in the program, because I'm in the program, because that's how you stay clean.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of the things is that you turn your will and your life over the care of God as you understand him.
Right.
So you're supposed to do God's will. Yeah. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, and it can be hard. God gives us a conscience, but sometimes, you know what? It's our conscience can tell us to do the wrong thing if we haven't formed it well. But it's funny, in the 12-step program, they always say, like, hey, you gotta pick a higher power. And it's like, well, I'm an atheist. Like, well, you can pick anything, but they tell you there's one thing that can't be the higher power. And what's that? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Because some people don't want God. They'll say, okay, you can pick whatever. It just can't be you in the program. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
It can't be you, because you've disappointed you. That's why you're here. You can't trust you. And guess what?
Exactly.
I can't trust me. If it was all up to me to get to heaven and be with God, I couldn't do it. I got to have the grace of God working through me to lead me closer to him. And so, David, what I want you to take away from our chat is just this. God exists. He loves you. Your life is not an accident. It's a gift. And he wants you to take the gift of your life to be closer to him and be transformed by him, so that you can always do what God wants you to do. That way you're able to love yourself. You're able to love your neighbors, love the people you know, and rejoice in him. Because I believe that the reason that people seek out stuff like drugs and alcohol and sex and whatever it may be, it's because they want a happiness that this life can't give. That it's crazy. People want, they'll throw their life away for a happiness, a pleasure that, like, this life can't give. We can't be happy and pleasure and feeling amazing all the time in this life, but we want that. We want this like high, you know, we want this, but it's like this life can't give that to us. But the reason we want it so bad is because we were made for perfect, infinite happiness in heaven with God. And so we chase after it in the wrong places in this life, and that can lead to addiction, it can lead to drugs, whatever it may be. God wants us to seek it in him. And when we have him, we love ourselves, we love other people, and we kind of get a preview of what that happiness is like in heaven. So David, what I would recommend is please stay on the line. Our call screener will get your mailing address. I want to send you my book, Why We're Catholic. And I tell you what, I'll find a way. I will try to find a way to get you an audiobook credit, because I think you might just, it might be something easy for you to just listen to, think about. I think it'll benefit you. So stay on the line, and I'm going to try to find a way to get you at least the book, if not the audiobook. And I hope that'll be helpful for you. I'm really glad you called. And I will ask our listeners to pray for you, to continue to stay clean, and that you can just be closer to God and never forget that God loves you. Okay?
David, thank you very, very much. I'm going to keep moving so I can get at least one more person in before the top of the hour. Why aren't you Catholic? Our topic this hour. So we'll go ask that of Michael in Florida, listening on the EWTN app. Michael, why aren't you Catholic?
What's up, brothers? How you doing, man? Well, I'll tell you this. I was baptized Catholic. Was a Catholic until I made confirmation. Well, I'm still Catholic, technically. Confirmation. I made confirmation. After confirmation, I totally turned myself over to licentious living and everything else. And then actually, January 11, 2009, I walked into Mass. And during the Lord's Prayer, there's no question the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
There was a rebirth or just another, if you would say, another justification. But I was conscious of my sin for the first time.
Wow.
And I went to confession,
yeah,
literally like for a month straight, to the point where the priest at the end of 3 weeks was like, Michael, unless you murdered somebody, please don't come back to see me again. Because I just kept going and seeing him and going and seeing him and going and seeing him because I could not.
Yeah.
This is beautiful, Michael. I love hearing this, but that sounds like you are a Catholic then.
Well, I just want to get into, then we'll get to the point of where I'm on the fence.
Sure.
Let me tell you. Okay. So after that happened, I stayed in the Catholic Church literally for like the next 5 years, studying scripture, this, that, the third, and some of the stuff that the Catholic Church taught on the surface. I'm going to say on the surface because I've been digging in a little more with the catechism. Actually, I just bought it last week, and I'm on page 4, like 450 on it or something. I've been reading through it.
Good.
So I was in the Catholic Church up until up until 2014,
mm-hmm,
when I left the Catholic Church. It was Ash Wednesday of 2014. There was just some things with works that I really wasn't understanding. And then I left and went to a Calvary Chapel. I was in Calvary Chapel for about 2 years, and then I got introduced, mm-hmm, to R.C. Sproul and guys in the Reformed tradition,
yeah,
and I was head over heels in Calvinism.
Okay.
Or literally in an Acts 29 church. And up until about, no joke, 4 months ago, when I was reading church history, and I'm like, okay, I can't go back to Catholic Church. Maybe I'll go become an Anglican.
why can't you go back to the Catholic Church? What's the big roadblock?
Well, one of my biggest things was indulgences.
Okay.
I just really don't understand it.
Okay.
It really, and then again, I think it's more like propaganda too that you read when you're in the Calvinist camp. There's no question.
Yeah. Okay, so the propaganda, yeah, it gets to you.
Yeah, Michael, so you just don't really, you don't understand indulgences? Do you have an idea of what they are?
And indulgences, no, I don't.
Okay, well, let me just explain it to you, because I think many people have problems with indulgences. And they don't understand what they are, that 90% of the difficulty is because of a misinterpretation. An indulgence is not a ticket to heaven. An indulgence is not something that you just buy from the church that will get you out of hell and into heaven or something like that. No amount of indulgences can get somebody out of hell. That's not how they work. I would recommend with your catechism, you go to the section on indulgences to read that, and then read before and after, because it talks about sin and justification. And what it says, I think it's Pope Paul VI, says, an indulgence is a remission before God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose guilt has already been forgiven. So when we sin, there's two aspects of our sin, okay? There's eternal, what our sin does to our relationship with God, eternal. And then when we sin, there's what it does to ourselves and other people around us. So if you think about it, if someone commits adultery, right, or they commit murder, obviously, you know, it's a really bad sin, a grave sin. They've cut off their relationship with God, but other bad things, they've become attached to sin and they've hurt themselves and other people in this life, right?
Oh, hang on.
We have him?
Yeah, he's there, but you'll...
Okay. Well, I'll just keep going. So the key here, Michael, is that that sin has two kinds of punishment: eternal, next life, and temporal, this life. And so Jesus died on the cross, and by being baptized and by being in a state of grace, through Christ, the eternal punishment of sin is taken away. But the temporal punishment for sin, that, you know, the consequences we have in this life, like being attached to sin, that doesn't necessarily go away. And so an indulgence is the way of the church's authority to remit those punishments, because Jesus gave the church the keys to the kingdom. He gave the church the authority to do these things. So stay on the line, Michael. I hope you're still there. I'll send you some more information on this. We'll get your email from our call screener.
Thanks, Michael. Trent Horn is our guest, and we got him for another hour. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. If you haven't dialed yet and you're not a Catholic who would like to tell us why you are not a Catholic, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Why aren't you a Catholic? Our topic today with the author of Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. Right back with more with Trent Horn right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.